We will now call to order the City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings for November 13, 2018. At the outset, I have reviewed and approved the corrected minutes for the June 12, 2018 meeting. I have reviewed and approved the minutes of the October 9, 2018 Biketoberfest 2018 Master Plan Appeals. And I have reviewed and approved the minutes for our October 9, 2018 meeting. That having been said, we will now proceed to this morning's agenda. But before that, do we have any announcements to be made?
Yes, we do. Case number one, SMG 10-18-122 is in compliance 11-12-18. Case number four, SMG 08-18-81 at 1148 Champions Drive is in compliance 11-1-18. Case number 25, SMG 11-18-139 at 217 Arlington Avenue is in compliance 11-13-18. Case number 28, 11-18-141 at 101 Brasswood Court is in compliance 11-9-2018. And that's it.
Very good. Well, all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceeding, please step forward and be sworn at this time. First item on this morning's agenda is a lien review. 1232 Peachtree Road, L.J. Freeman and Robin Spencer. Anyone here for the appellant or applicant?
Mark Abling, 123 Sunny Beach, 125 Sunny Beach Drive, Ormond Beach, Florida. I do.
And your last name is Abling?
Abling, yep, A-B-E-L-I-N-G.
All right, well, before we get into your request, let's hear from the city. Mr. City Attorney, if you would give me a little bit of background on this, and what are we looking at?
Good morning, Mr. Vakalja, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Mr. Vakalja, this is a situation where we had a house that had a lot of problems. It needed a lot of repairs. It required 16 different inspections done by our inspectors. And ultimately, it was fine. The issue is that the fine was imposed, and apparently this gentleman was in the process of purchasing it around the same time. What should have happened, I don't know whether it happened or not, is that the seller should have disclosed that he was at the point of imposition of a fine on a proceeding and that this property was about to be fined. So a fine was imposed, and I think 3 days after the imposition of the fine, they closed on the sale. So the purchaser or the requester now is asking that, well, we closed several days after the sale, and he says he didn't know that there was a lien had been imposed at that time. We do appreciate that he did move in, take care of the property, and he did improve the property. I think the inspector would say that the property's in good shape now. The inspector is what's the first name? Alderman Steve. There we go, Steve Alderman. The inspector, Steve Alderman, and he would say that the property is in good shape now. So our biggest issue is that we had so much involvement in this property, and we think it's fair to at least ask for a $1,000 lien, so a reduction to $1,000 to at least cover the cost of these mini inspections, and that's probably being generous.
Let's say Mr. Abling.
Yeah, I think it's mostly the timeline, Your Honor. We had purchased the house and went through the normal routines with the with everybody doing their checks, the title insurance companies and all that. When we purchased the house, it took us a little while to get all of our ducks in a row for getting the house repaired. And shortly, maybe a month after we had purchased the house, I had contacted Steve Alderman because we had noticed the stop work order in the house. That's when he informed me that there was a lien on the property. So we contacted our title insurance company again, and they said it was put on roughly 5 days a week after we had closed. So I don't know when they did their initial check and how everything was missed, but we didn't know anything for probably a month, month and a half after we purchased the house that this was happening. So I proceeded to get all the permits and everything that normally happens, but they also told me it was $100 a day until the house is finished. So really nothing I could do except for finish the house. So that's what we did, and now it's a beautiful home. And we just kind of fell through the cracks here a little bit. And I think the only thing that Mr. Alderman schooled me on is prior to buying a house, I should put another additional check, which is go to the permit department, see if there's any outstanding liens on the property or anything that might come in the future. So that's something I'd never considered before. I do remember at the closing, the original owner had a lien on it of $160-some, and I think that was because the city had to come in and mow his lawn. But he had to pay that during the time of closing. And I do remember them asking him if there was any other liens, outstanding, whatever, anything else we needed to know about the property, and he said no. So that's sort of my story, sir.
Oh, so sounds like your seller was a real stand-up guy.
No comment.
And so now we're all sharing the hurt.
Yes, sir.
City's yes, proposing sir. To reduce, like it or not, you inherited this.
Yes.
That's
yes,
the bad sir. News. And the other dilemma I think you ran into is I assume you were told no one was going to consider a lien review until the house was brought into compliance.
Yes, sir.
So you were forced to finish the house while the fine continued to accrue.
Yes, sir.
Before you could ask for any relief.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and fine you nonetheless, but I'm going to reduce it to the sum of, how many days was it you said? Something like 5 days. I don't know. I don't care. I'm reducing the amount of lien to the sum of $300.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Thank
okay.
you.
I'm not eliminating the lien for whatever it's worth as to Mr. Freeman
okay.
and Robin Spencer, and I can only hope that someday we'll meet them again.
I would hope so, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you did to the house. You've
Thank
now
you.
Made
it's
it an asset
home.
Instead of a liability. I'm sorry that you find yourself in this situation at
no,
all.
No, it's okay. It's a
and
good
yes,
learning.
Unfortunately, there need to be more title companies and property attorneys out there that raise their hand and say, by the way, perhaps we should go check with building
yes,
and zoning
yes.
to see if there are any liens or what have you.
Yes. Yep.
All right. That $300 reduction is good for 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, it reverts to this amount.
No,
if you have any trouble paying that within the 30 days, speak to the city attorney. I'm sure he'll be happy to work with you.
I'll take care of it right now.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Case number two, or lien review number two, 501 South Martin Luther King Boulevard Community Dynamics Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Well, then I guess that lien review request is denied. Do we need to wait? Kind of odd that somebody doesn't show up for a lien review. All right, I'll tell you what, I'll just hold off on that for the time being, in case somebody shows up. But, June, if you would please remind me before the meeting's over to come back to that one. All right, we'll proceed to lien review number three, 1517 Mississippi Street, Farron L. Gallen.
Farron Gallen, 8 Caswell Court, Palm Coast, Florida, 32164. Yes, I do.
Okay, Mr. Gallen, let me hear from the city attorney first, and then I'll turn to you. so he can bring us up to speed as to how we got here.
Mr. Verkelger, the inspector in this case was Mark Jones, who does our rent inspections, and Mr. Jones, in this case, reports that we did 6 rent inspections on this property. His issue with the owner, and it is the same owner, was that he kept the place rented the whole time without license. He re-rented it when it became vacant. And the city's position is we're not recommending any reduction.
Okay, well, when was he notified he had to obtain a rental license? I assume that was around April 17 of 2018?
We'll have to ask Mr. Jones if he can help.
And what you're telling me is rather than obtain the rental license, he continued renting the property even when it was vacant?
Yes, Mark Jones, City of Daytona Beach. We posted the property back in December of 2017 for no rental license, and compliance was due on January 4th.
And
we have had, since then, the property has failed six inspections, and we had an additional 5 inspections that were scheduled and then canceled before we were able to get out to do the inspection. And
so
it
all
finally,
totaled, we had 11 inspections coordinated?
Well, we were on site. This procedure started back in May of 2017 when he failed an inspection for a rental property. He then notified the city that the inspector at that time, that he was in the process of selling the property. So no follow-up was made until we notified him in December when we found that he had not sold the property and it was still rented.
Okay, and what was the problem with getting the rental license as you understood it?
Well, to have a rental license, you must pass a rental inspection every 2 years. And what has happened is this has gone on for 17 months until it passed its rental inspection.
Okay. And were these serious violations, minor violations?
They started out as serious violations, and then it was not new violations every time. It was trying to get the same violations corrected each time we came out. It started out there were some electrical problems with the property, but that was corrected.
And the house stayed rented throughout?
Yes. Every time I was on property, the house was rented.
And we had different renters over the span that we're dealing with?
Yes.
10-4. Okay. What say Mr. Gallen?
Thank you. Let me put everything in the proper context. First of all, when I was notified in May of 2017, I had decided to sell the property, as he had indicated. Made a couple attempts that did not go through, and then I think beginning later in late 17 and early 18, we had a series of inspections. There were some electrical problems, some other minor problems. All of those were corrected, and then we got to the June hearing. The only thing that was left was some window problems, okay? And as I had indicated at the hearing on June 12, 2018, I said I've got to order these windows. I had gotten some estimates. I had presented those at the 18 meeting. And the next day I went to Daytona Window and ordered one of the windows, which was a major incompliant problem. And the lady told me that they would have the window in 30 days. At that time, you gave me until August 22nd. That window didn't come in, if I'm not memory serves me correct, until August 20th. And I got it in before that inspection, which was the last inspection that he had done. There were only 2 windows after that.
Did you call for an inspection after you installed the window?
Well, I'm getting. I did for that inspection. I made it in time for that before the fines started accruing. But Officer Jones here discovered, there were 2 other windows that wouldn't stay up. One being the bathroom window, and then one in the bedroom window that just needed some parts. It took me a while to get those parts. Once I got the parts done, they were installed. We got the reinspection. We were done. My point is that all of the major violations were done before the June 12th hearing. The only thing that was remaining after that was the windows. And the windows, it's a 50-year building. The windows, you just can't go to Home Depot and get a window. And I can get the Daytona window lady to vouch for that. You could call that. I ordered that window and paid for it, I think, June 13th, the day after the June 12th hearing. And it took 60 days. And any parts for those windows take a while to come in. So this wasn't something done out of malice. And all of the major things were completed by the June 12th meeting, if I'm not mistaken. That's all I have.
Okay, well, as of August 23, I'm looking at an affidavit of noncompliance. And you're telling me since June of 2018, the only thing you needed to do was work on this antiquated window you couldn't get parts for? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
From the June 12th meeting, unless I'm incorrect. It was just windows that were remaining.
We're going to find out. You tell me what your recollection is.
My recollection from the June 12th meeting, there were just windows that were outstanding. Everything else had been completed. In June 13th, I went to Daytona window and ordered that window because I had an estimate that I presented at that meeting. And she told me it would be 30 days. And they said it was on back order because of that kind of window. So I didn't have any control over that. And the parts, we waited to get some parts from old windows that were coming in at different companies because it was just a latch that needed to hold those windows up, the two remaining windows. And just for the record, the window in the bathroom is really a vent because no adult can even get through that window, for a safety reason. It's just a vent, really, because it's, it's so small. But that's all I have to say. Unless I'm incorrect, on the June 12th meeting, it was just windows that were remaining.
Okay, let's hear from our inspector. Mr. Inspector, I guess what I'm hearing is the man says is he was mostly in compliance in June of 2018. Whatever was left to be done was minimal, and he ran into problems trying to get parts. What say you to that?
Well, back again, these were violations from back at our first inspection that we performed. But on the June 8th inspection, again, we were discussing a bathroom window that would not stay up, glass broken in a back bedroom window, and a window in a front bedroom would not stay up, plus the one window that he had to order. We then came out and inspected on, or I came out and inspected on 8/22, and the window had been replaced, the front window that he had to order, but no work had been done on the bathroom window, the broken window in the back bedroom, or the front window in the front bedroom that would not stay up. I then did go back and got a call on 10/19. Went back and reinspected, and those three windows were corrected. And that's when we put the property in compliance.
So we're looking for, there's a $5,800 lien due to windows that weren't repaired as of August 22, 2018?
Well, no, the windows weren't repaired as of January 17th, 2018. That was on the original report when I did the first inspection.
I understand that, but the affidavit of noncompliance that triggered the fine is dated August 23, 2018.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand the status of compliance on or about August 22, 23, 2018. He says a few windows just need to be fixed, and I can't get parts. I don't know if I believe it or not, and he had plenty of time to work on these windows, but I'm just trying to ask you what your reference,
yes, that is
what
correct.
Your recollection is, because right now the gap between you two is somewhere between zero and $5,800.
Yes, that is correct. As of the August inspection, there were just the three windows that had not yet been repaired.
Were these windows was there something unique to these windows?
No, they're just older aluminum framed windows, and the one in the bathroom is required for ventilation. The one in the back bedroom was just a broken painted glass, which was replaced, and then the front window wouldn't stay up on its own.
Okay.
Which is
give me a little bit of context. Where do these windows factor in as far as the quantum of work that had to be done to qualify for the rental license to begin with? I mean, how serious a matter was this when we started?
Well, it's serious in the sense of in the bedroom it is used as your secondary egress, and in the front bedroom the window would not stay up.
I'm sorry, I didn't say that very well. Okay. As far as the quantum of work that had to be done when this case originally started.
Very minimal.
The quantum of work required was very minimal.
No, windows were a very small part of everything that needed to be done.
Okay. So I guess what I'm hearing from the city is the lion's share of the work was done by August 22, 2018.
Correct.
He's telling us these windows were problematic, and I assume you're going to tell me you had plenty of time to take care of those windows before August 22nd.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'm more interested in how many trips the city of Daytona Beach made out there to this house during the course of this saga. Do we have a handle on that?
Yes, we made 7 inspections. I passed the 7th inspection.
Why were there 7 inspections?
The owner called and said everything was ready to be re-inspected. The owner scheduled the inspection for his representative, and we came out to do the inspection. And each trip, items were taken off the list, but many items still remained.
Mr. City Attorney, what say you with regard to the work that remained to be performed between August 22 and October
22, when the property was brought into compliance? What about the respondent's conduct in this instance warrants a $5,800 fine?
Well, Mr. Vakelja, part of what we look at, there's several things. There's the egregiousness of the violation.
Egregiousness. What
I mean,
egregious?
I mean, in general.
What do you mean? Time consumption?
Well, when I'm saying
calling
talking
the city
about
it, out on multiple occasions when the property clearly wasn't ready for inspection.
Both.
That part I can understand.
Right. And then the effort to comply.
Being passed around from the owner of the property to some agent of the owner of the property to try to attend to this, getting this property brought into compliance?
Certainly. And then the other thing would be the efforts of the owner to comply. If those efforts were being made, it's hard to understand even when with the motivation of having a fine being imposed that there were still things that could easily be resolved that were not resolved. Instead, it still required multiple visits. So this reoccurring need for the staff to go out and for...
Hold the property owner's hand to finally get him to come into compliance?
Yes. And with a $100 fine, you'd think that he would have gone out, taken care of everything, and said, I'm ready, because he was ready, not because
especially
he wanted...
since he continued to rent the property throughout the whole time.
Exactly.
Without a rental license. Okay, I'm sorry. Do you have anything else you wanted to add?
I have nothing else, sir.
Okay. All right, last pitch.
Okay, well, first of all...
What about this scenario deserves me giving you any relief? That's the question
okay,
for you to
answer. Well, let me just stick with the facts. Number one, it's a 50-year-old building, okay? Windows, parts on that are very difficult to get. I can't remember ever replacing a window in the past. I mean, you think about your window in your home, how often do you replace it? Most people don't. So I had no idea how long it would take. With regards to the reinspections and the time length, I attacked the problem in terms of the seriousness of the violation. So we started off with the electrical work and so forth, and then the windows was the last thing because that, in my mind, was minor. So, you know, we prioritize based on the seriousness of it, and there's documentation that we did complete, you know, the electrical work and the other matters at hand. What warrants, with respect to the series of inspections, I'm a layman, so I relied on a guy that was fixing the property up when he told me, you know, everything's ready. I relied on it. This is not a full-time job for me. I got a whole lot of other things going on besides this. So I relied on him, and it was very frustrating to, you know, to do it, but it wasn't out of malice. That's what I'm trying to mention here. And as far as the windows, had I known at the meeting that it had taken that long, I would have requested more time. But the lady told me 30 days, and you can call her and ask a date on a window. And so in my mind, I thought this would have been done by the August 22nd. In fact, when you gave me the August 22nd date, I thought that was very generous. So in my mind, I thought it was going to be done, but it just didn't happen that way. So the ball didn't bounce in my favor in that case. So that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, the amount of the lien you're looking at right now is $5,800. Did you ever make any effort to resolve this with the city?
No, sir. Okay. I didn't know there was a way to resolve it. So in terms of, you know, paying it, obviously, but...
All right. And the city feels $5,800 is warranted under the circumstances?
Yes, sir. Primarily because, indeed, we are not challenging him on the issue of malice, what we are saying is he's an investor. He was continued to get the benefits of his investment by renting and re-renting in spite of his failure to comply with the ordinances. And we believe that the $5,800 is warranted.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and first off, this isn't going to be reduced to zero, I can tell you that. And I get a sense here that the respondent wasn't all that concerned about the city of Daytona Beach and took a bit of a lackluster attitude with regard to seeing to it that the property was in compliance when it came time to call for an inspection. And what I'm hearing right now, of course, is the usual last-minute glitches that occur. But in the interim, the property owner continued to rent this property without a rental license. That was the whole purpose of the citation to begin with. All right, in any event, I'm going to reduce the fine to the sum of $2,400, subject to being paid within 30 days. If it's not paid within 30 days, the amount of the fine reverts back, or the amount of the fine remains, the $5,800 plus the $24 recording cost that's been charged already. So with that, I'll agree to a reduction of the lien to the sum of $2,400. Good luck to you. All right. Next case, Mary Hawkins Yan. Anyone here for the respondent? What's the city?
Mr. Vakel, the inspector in this case is Jerome McCoy. I think the last time we were before you, the respondent was present and had indicated that he had initiated a eviction. We searched the public records and the court records. We have not found any evidence of an eviction being initiated, and nothing has really happened since then. The inspector reports that it remains in non-compliance. We're asking for a $100 fine to a maximum of $15,000. The inspector, Jerome McCoy. I don't know if Mr. McCoy have anything else, but I tend to.
Right. What is the ongoing violation? To what extent has the property not come into compliance at all?
Good morning, sir. Jerome McCoy, code inspector for the city. My credentials on file. It's a rental license. I still haven't been able to conduct the inspection or the re-inspection because I've done inspection on part of the property. However, the other part, I did the initial inspection on that, but I was never called for a re-inspection because violations was found, and I still haven't been able to get inside to do it. So.
This is a duplex, right?
It is a duplex, yes.
Okay, we had any contact with the owner?
I've spoken with him. My last conversation with him was November the 9th, at the end of that conversation, I referenced the date and the time of the hearing, so he's aware, or the representative for the property.
Okay, has this property changed hands?
It's under Yen. The previous owner was.
No, the respondent who had been coming is related in one way or another to the listed owner. I can tell you from another proceeding I was involved in with the respondent that he indicates basically she was, for tax purposes only, kind of a straw owner, and he's the owner.
Okay, very good. Based on the testimony of our inspector, the presentation by the city, the absence of a respondent, the fact that the property remains in noncompliance, notwithstanding our last amended order of noncompliance, I'm ordering the respondent to pay the sum of $100 commencing November 8, 2018, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of. Is it $10,000 or $15,000?
$15,000.
$15,000. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Case number 3, Jihad G. and Nidal G. Murad is in compliance. I'm sorry. Let's go down to case number 5, Fred J. Hoffman, trustee of the Hollywood Trust.
Morning, Fred Hoffman.
Your address?
My address or the address of the property?
Your address.
882 East Coquina Drive, Daytona Beach.
Is your name? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Hoffman, let's hear from the city.
Okay.
As to why they think we should be imposing a fine.
Mr. McKelger, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that this was before you for rental, failure to obtain a rental license, and he'd been working with Mr. Hoffman to get this resolved. And as of, I believe he told me it was yesterday, he was able to do an inspection. I think there had been some previous reports about a tenant issue, and even on yesterday, they weren't able to complete the inspection related to some issue with the tenant. What Mr. Jones is asking, if we can amend, he intends to go back and he know there were a couple of minor things that needed to be resolved, so if we could amend to the next call, if he would ask to do that so we can get this closed out. And I tend to Mr. Jones if you need any other factual information.
Let's say Mr. Hoffman to that.
I agree.
All right. Then I will amend our amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 5, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good.
We should be able to. The reason is because the front unit needed to be inspected, and they weren't there, and they came 10 minutes after Mark Jones arrived. So it should be this afternoon. We'll get it straightened out.
If you're running into tenant interference, make sure you document it so it's brought to my attention if need be.
Okay.
Good luck to you. Case number 6, Joyce Dixon is trustee of the Joyce Dixon Revocable Trust, dated September 15, 2006. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Joyce Dixon, 712 Northern Drive, Lake Park, Florida, 33403.
You should solemnly swear or affirm that you're about to provide truth,
all truth, and nothing but truth.
I do.
All right, Ms. Dixon, let's listen to the city. Explain to us why they think I should be fining you.
Ms. Vakelja, this is before you come in position of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that on this property, 1134 Berkshire Road, Ms. Dixon still has failed to obtain a rental license. You may recall she come in last month, and we really have the same issue, which is that Ms. failed numerous inspections, and this, she hasn't authorized the inspector to go on for a reinspection because she wanted to finish complete all of these repairs first. However, she's reporting to the inspector as of this morning that she sold the property. The inspector said he did check. He doesn't see anything recorded. And so we'll hear from her from that perspective. But the intent or the desire of the staff is to, if indeed, unless we have this record of a transfer or sale, that an imposition of a fine of $100 a day be imposed to a maximum of $15,000. Said a lot of stuff.
So we're being told the property's been sold. We haven't confirmed yet that the property's been sold.
That's correct.
We're here now on something that's been going on since October of 2017. After giving Ms. Dixon till September 11, 2018 to come into compliance, October 3, 2018 to come into compliance, and November 7, 2018 to come into compliance, now we're hearing we're not coming into compliance at all. We've sold the house. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's correct. And I was just correct. One thing I was corrected on is the date we were notified, which was November 2nd. So we would think it would be appearing for recording by now. But so we don't know what her proof of that is, but that's when she informed him that it was sold.
10-4. All right, Ms. Dixon, you're here for imposition of a fine for failure to obtain rental license. Have you obtained the rental license yet?
No, sir, I haven't.
Okay.
I have documents that I signed to sell the property.
Cool. I'm not interested in those.
No.
All right. So what say you to the proposed fine of $100 per day?
There's no one in the property, and since I sold it, I found there was no reason to come in compliant because I have sold the property.
Okay. Well, I think somewhere in there maybe what I might be hearing is I no longer have any intent of operating the property as a rental property. Does that impact what we're here on today at all? And before you say anything, I don't plan on letting this property off the hook at all as far as coming into compliance, so don't feel the need to be gracious.
Yeah, Ms. McCallister, the property has numerous violations. I think the history of the property is that it's been rented and re-rented without some knowledge that indeed the good faith of the respondent is not something that we can stand on as far as her expression of no rental. It's been rented and re-rented for several times over this more than a year of dealing with the property. As I said, last time she came with an indication that she wanted her ex-husband to take over the controls of it. We don't even, I believe just from what the glance of what she was offering up was a maybe a contract for sale, but not actually the sale itself. Apparently it's not so, and that's why we don't have a record. So as far as the city's concerned, she's the owner, and she hasn't complied, and she hasn't really shown the intent to comply.
Occupied.
Our last view or inspection of it was that it was. As of today, I don't know. I'd have to look to the inspector.
Ms. Dixon, are you renting this place?
No, sir. Those pictures that you see are very old pictures. Mr. Jones have not been out there. I have done work.
He hasn't been out there because he hasn't been called for an inspection.
Right. Right.
Because you haven't done the work you were supposed to do.
Yes, sir. I have done the work.
There's no reason.
I have done the work, sir. I have done the work. Except for mine, it's like three.
Are you telling me the property's in compliance?
It's like three things I haven't done there. I've taken care of the electrical. I haven't hung the door. That knob, that door thing is very minor to me. I could go put that on in 5 minutes. I could do that myself.
And the property, you're telling me the property's not occupied?
It's not occupied. The tenant is gone.
All right. Mr. City Attorney, do you have the name, address, and contact information for this prospective purchaser?
I have it here, sir.
No, I have no information of a prospective purchaser except for. Yeah, what I'm looking at, what was handed to me is a real estate contract of sale. So a sale contract. Which was made back on August of 2018, which I think we've been here since then. And executed on that date. Well, so it appears. I don't know, I see a signature page for October, so it's a little confusing.
And what's the relief the city's looking for?
I will say the city's looking for imposition of a fine of $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000. I will say that the buyer here is CMC Holdings 1 LLC, which I don't know who or any information regarding whether that's a closed internal sale or if it's to someone that's a good faith purchaser. I don't know who it is.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day commencing November 8, 2018. And fines going to continue to accrue each day thereafter until such time as the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. I'm going to further order that this property not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until such time as the property has been brought into compliance. Violation of that will culminate in a separate fine to be determined at that point in time should that occur. Very good. Anything more on this thing?
Not on this one. See you at the next day.
I understand that. Just want to make sure we're done with this one.
Nothing further on this, Mr. Couchin.
Case number 7, Joyce Dixon is trustee of the Joyce Dixon Revocable Trust, dated September 15, 2006. 310 Marion Street, unit number 4, here for the imposition of a fine. All right, once again, let's let the city attorney tell us what the status of this is and why the city feels the need to ask for a fine.
Mr. McAlder, on this case, again, the inspector is Mark Jones, and Mr. Jones reports that nothing's been done. The holdup for a very long time has been Ms. Dixon's expression of the inability to enter the property and do the repairs. The property is vacant, but nothing's been done at this point, as the last view from the inspector, which I think is his picture show. And as you can see, it's in substantial disrepair. The inspector is requesting a $250 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000, and I would tender the inspector, Mr. Jones, to give you any further factual information.
Mr. Jones?
Yes, I inspected the property with Ms. Dixon on November 6th. The property is vacant. There is no electric to the property, to this apartment, and it looks like she has started, or at least has bought product and stuff to start doing work, but it is in quite a bit of a disarray.
Okay. Is this property occupied?
This unit is not presently occupied, no.
Do we know how long it's been since it was occupied?
I do not know. I know since this started, it has been occupied twice, and I don't know exact date that the last tenant moved out.
When you say this, since this started, it's been occupied twice, what do you mean?
Since the initial complaint, this was a tenant complaint driven. That tenant moved out, and it was then re-rented.
Okay. Mr. City Attorney, how do you arrive at your $250 per day?
Mr. Couch, what we look at is there are three factors that are in statute as well as in our code. One is the egregiousness of the violation. This is a rental property. Was being rented. Our past inspection has shown that it was in poor condition. You can see from the violations that were cited that it was in poor condition. It was a tenant complaint, so it was an entry because the tenant had enough of it. That tenant was then vacated. She put another tenant with those conditions apparently remaining. And so we believe it was very egregious, and the whole purpose for why we have our rental ordinance is to ensure that we don't have these type of properties being rented. The second issue is that we look at the effort of the respondent to come into compliance. Well, we have a whole history of inadequate or insufficient efforts of this respondent on this property as well as other properties that she's owned, specifically the Berkshire property that we just mentioned. So in that regard, her efforts have not been adequate or sufficient. And then thirdly, we look at the history of the respondent and her history has not been a good history in terms of being concerned or considered of the efforts of compliance in our city.
Okay. Let's say Ms. Dixon.
God. I can't believe this. Mr. Jones was there the other day. I have had numerous people there, and when he took these pictures, he just took these pictures the other day. I am doing all I can to get this place in compliance. When they find me, the other code enforcement officer was there before, which was his cousin. This is what Mr. Jones stated to me. So then Mr. Jones came in because the code enforcement officer cousin moved out. When I got this here, it's the same time that 1134 code enforcement officer came out. Mr. Jones came out there and he looked at the place. He saw that I had been doing things. I cannot do these things that need to be done. I'm trying to renovate the whole place. The tenant just moved out over a month ago. When I got it, the first tenant was there, had just moved out. I had no idea that I had been cited by the city. Otherwise, I wouldn't have moved nobody in there. But I have been doing everything to try to come in compliant. He took pictures the other day because he saw people that was working there.
What have you done to try to come into compliance?
We've done
said
the walls.
Everything. What does everything consist of?
I done the walls. I put locks on there that he asked me. I have repaired this under the sink. I have covered the, took care of the water heater. He took pictures of all this stuff. He took pictures.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at them. They're dated November 13. I'm sorry. When were these photos taken?
Yeah.
They were taken on the 7th.
Okay. This when the guy was in there working after they had pushed everything out of the way, and we have taken everything out of there since then. When we first started there, they had tenants all on the windows. I have been doing everything to come in compliance there. I have cleaned up, and they're putting tile in there now, and they've done the walls. And there's no one there.
Does this respondent require permits to do this work?
I'm sorry.
Does this respondent require permits to do some of the work that's listed here?
Not to my knowledge. Most of it was cosmetic. It may have required some electrical permits, depending on what they had to do to correct those parts of the violation. Most of it was, as she stated, there were some problems with the hot water heater because it was missing its panels. It had some open electrical outlets, some fixtures that were dangling down. Not that that would require, it was not going to require new work, to my knowledge.
How much time would it take her to come into compliance to fix these things?
It should have taken less than 30 days.
Ms. Dixon, how long is it going to take you to get this unit in shape?
I'm trying to take care of it now, so it's just that I had someone there, and they was charging me per day to do it, and they was, like, moving their feet real slow, but I'm trying to come in compliance with it.
And this unit's empty now?
Yes, sir, it is.
Maybe, Mr. Ricard, I do want to remind you that last month when she was in, she was here with her ex-husband, and she said she was turning all that over for him to handle, and she wasn't doing anything else.
I don't care about
else.
The ex-husband.
No,
here's what I'm going to do, Ms. Dixon. Said he's a little aggravated with you, but what the heck? I'm going to amend our current order of noncompliance to allow you until December 5, 2018, that's the next cutoff, to come into compliance on this unit.
Yes, sir.
Between now and then, this unit is not to be rented, occupied, or utilized until such time as the property is brought into compliance.
Yes, sir.
If it's not in compliance by December 5, 2018, then on December 6, 2018, a fine in the amount of $150 per day will automatically go into effect and will continue to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, between the property we just looked at, not that it matters anymore, 1134 Berkshire Road and this one, I'm trying to create a little more time for you to get this one in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's critical that property not be rented out till it's in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be interested in any contracts for sale and purchase either. I want compliance. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, with regard to this property, I'm giving you till December 5th to come into compliance to finish up what you're doing, because the inspector over there says apparently you don't need any permits, or I'm not hearing about permits. But again, if you fail to do that, or if you move someone in before the property's in compliance, then a fine in the amount of $150 per day will go into effect. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to our lien review case number 2.
Name is Gerald Chester. The address is 220 Zaharia Circle, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Raise your hand, please. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And what is your relationship with Community Dynamics Incorporated?
I'm the president, sir.
Very good. All right, Mr. City Attorney, why don't you bring us up to speed as to how we came to be here?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Kelger, the inspector or one who will be reporting on this would be Mr. Sykes, Denzel Sykes. The this property was one where the primary issue was windows that just kept, they were broke, and they just kept being broken and cracked. And the respondent said that, hey, what do you want me to do? Say, keep breaking them, is what he said.
Who's they?
I guess the neighborhood. I'm not sure. But
well, is he correct when he says the windows just kept getting broken?
That's the report, I believe. It's a correct report, yes. So,
we agree the windows keep getting broken, and the they is folks we don't know.
I'll have to look to my inspector to speak to that issue. But ultimately, the respondent I don't know if that's what's the hold of it, but after being fined, ultimately he demolished the property. So, and it came into compliance by demolition at its own cost, and so the city is asking for a reduction of $2,000 just for our repeated involvement in the property. But I will turn to Mr. Sykes.
So he's agreeing to a reduction from $20,000 to $2,000?
Yes, that's the city's recommendation.
You got something to say to that? Other than thank you?
Well, I wanted to make clear that we are working in tandem with a nonprofit to develop that community. That was one of the purposes for us acquiring that property. We acquired that property, and we were getting ready to rehab it and put it back on the market to make it good for the community. And since that time, a car ran into it and damaged the structure, and it made it difficult for us to deal with. But
this place is cursed.
Yes. What we were going to try to do is get an engineer to come and engineer that so that we could do it, to repair it. Unfortunately, a hurricane came and peeled the roof back. So in the process of all that occurring, you had the broken glass. We couldn't put plexiglass or board the units up, so we were completely out of compliance. They had to be involved. There was no question about it, but that was beyond our control. So I was making a request that, given the nature of what we do and what we're trying to do for the community, that expense be zeroed out. We still have taxes to deal with. We just got through paying for the demolition ourselves, and it's been pretty difficult trying to improve the community.
All right, what say the city to that? I'm sorry, what's your name again?
My name is Gerald Tester.
Tester?
Yes.
Mr. Tester tells us he's a good guy and he's going to fix the community.
Chester.
Mr. Chester tells us he's a good guy and he's going to fix the community. So why does the city of Daytona Beach have to rain on its parade?
Ms. Bacalja, I know Mr. Chester, and Mr. Chester is a good guy. And assume he's still doing the incubator as well?
Yeah.
And
what's the incubator?
The business incubator there on Orange Avenue. That's
a facility and services designed to help upstart businesses in Daytona Beach.
Sounds like he's a good guy. Why are we hammering him for $2,000 for something that appears to be beyond his control? And I appreciate the fact that the city went out there and spent countless hours dealing with this, but then there's lots of other areas in town they could have spent some of that attention on, but I digress. Nevertheless, okay.
Well, Mr. McCallie, I think you said everything I can say. The city spent countless hours.
It's pretty much unanimous he's a good guy. I don't know that that's going to be substantively correct, but we'll go ahead and waive the lien. Good luck to you. All right, hold a second.
Charles Bryant, Redevelopment Project Manager for the City of Daytona Beach. I do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Your Honor, I just want to confirm that I know Mrs. Chester. I'm the Redevelopment Project Manager for which this property is located. I know he's had several issues with people breaking these windows. He's tried to rectify that, and it still kept getting broken. We have worked with Mr. Chester. As a matter of fact, the building across the street, we did a grant for Mr. Chester to build a restaurant and an ice cream shop. He's an outstanding resident of the city. He's trying to help rebuild this area, and like he stated, he is a not-for-profit, and he's trying to help us clean up the area. and I would appreciate it if we can reduce the fine as much as we can.
Okay, well then with that, I'll go ahead and waive the fine and the lien, and that's that.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good luck to you. Case number 8, Calvary Global Ministries Incorporated.
It's Brent Hathaway, and it's 310 Earl Street, Daytona Beach. I do.
Yes, sir. Your affiliation with Calvary Global Ministries Incorporated?
We are a licensed contractor doing work for the property on all three parcels.
Okay.
Are all three buildings on the parcel at this time?
All right. And let's hear from the city as to why. All right. Calvary Global Ministries. What is Calvary Global Ministries, Inc.?
It is a. It's a business, it's a church out of Atlanta, Georgia. The lady who bought this place is from Atlanta. She frequents this place. She's had quite a few issues that we're trying to clean up, but they're basically just a church from Atlanta that does mission work here in Daytona.
Very good. All right. Just wanted to make sure. All right. Now, Mr. City Attorney, what has the respondent done to warrant a fine? As I recall, weren't we supposed to remove all the stuff that had previously enclosed an old porch or something like that? Or that had subsequently enclosed an old porch?
Mr. Fakaj, I will probably have to tender this to Ms. Fitzgerald. I'm just trying to get myself regathering on all of the
weren't y'all trying
issues.
To restore this thing back to its
yes,
something
sir,
akin to its original construction?
We've almost completed... $100,000 worth of restoration the exterior of the oldest church on Beachside. And it's the problem we're having is we had a one code violation there. My company is changing names from One Source Construction to East Florida Construction, so we haven't been able to pull a new permit. Just to take, I could take the siding down in 3 hours and clear all these stupid violations.
Is this
up.
The siding that encloses that old porch,
yes,
by any chance?
It's 2x4s and screws, push it out, throw it in the dumpster, it's out of there.
Okay.
You know, but the problem is I can't do it without a contract, and we won't do it without a contract. If we do something, then we're going to be liable for it. So until we get our name changed, which has been filed and it's been a process for our new qualifier, because this is a very small project for some of the stuff we do. So it's been kind of a challenge.
Who's your qualifier?
It is East Florida Construction.
Okay.
It's Rociel Sanchez out of Orlando, Florida. So.
And for? All right, what say the city?
Mr. McCouch, I'm being told by the inspector that he agrees 100% that's the circumstance. He agrees 100% that that's the circumstance. They just need to be able to pull a permit, and this job wouldn't take them any time at all. They can't pull a permit because
it
of whatever
like we're talking time. How much time is required to come into compliance?
That's our recommendation, is that we just give them additional time. We believe that next cutoff they should be able to have it resolved.
All right. And, sir, do you think you'll have these this taken care of by December 5th?
Oh, yes, sir, I do. We everything is approved. We had to do a subsequent credit check, which takes like 14 days because we have several. We have four companies. We have an Inc., an LLC, and then this new company, which it all depends on what we're doing, whether we're doing roofs and we need a roofing qualifier,
cool,
et cetera,
a little attention to Beachside. I ought to canonize yes. you myself.
Yeah. That's the oldest church on Beachside, and somebody hit that post right there. It's going to cost about $8,000 to repair, but...
This is the wrong place to bring up
yeah.
things like that. Okay, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
If you run into further delays, contact the inspector. Let him know what's going on. He'll be your best friend
yeah.
if deadlines start coming down.
Yeah, we've had a pretty good communication so far. Hopefully, we can.
Very good. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 9, Tambra N. Davis, trustee, or her successors in trust of the Tambra N. Davis Management Trust, dated June 1, 2005. That might have won the longest title award right there.
Ms. Vakalja, the inspector informed me they have a history of not showing, but they have been doing a lot of work. He They're going over and above what's been required. He's asking that we amend to the January cutoff so that they can complete everything and bring the property into compliance. I'd have to tender to Inspector Mike Fitzgerald so he can give you more clear facts on that, but he's asking for the January cutoff date.
Okay. Morning.
Good morning. Mike Fitzgerald with the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city.
And I hear we're satisfied with the effort.
Well, they're bringing it up to new standards, and they're adding that front porch. So that's what's delaying it, is the update of the exterior.
This is on South Peninsula?
Yes, sir.
Very good. So we're satisfied with the effort.
It should be a very nice-looking house when it's done.
Great. And so you're proposing we go to January 2. That's the January cutoff?
Yes, sir.
All right. Based on our inspector's report and the effort put forth by the respondent, we will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until January 2, 2019, to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 10, Reginald T. Copeland. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelgett, it's before you spend position of a fine, the inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that this property is now in compliance, and that's all we need. We announced compliance.
We're what?
I said on this one we announced compliance. He was asking about a finding, but a finding has already been made since we're here for imposition of a fine. So.
All right. Based on our attorney's presentation, I find the respondent is now in compliance. And with that, the matter is concluded. Case number 11, Reginald T. Copeland, 802 Derbyshire Road. Again, parking on the grass.
Oh, okay. I see. You had them back. You had them reversed. Okay.
You guys got your notes squared away yet?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The parking on the grass is what's in compliance.
We're in compliance on parking on the grass.
The prior case, we're not in compliance.
All right. Let me back up. Case number 081893, I'm vacating my previous determination that the respondent was in compliance. While we're making things difficult for June, with regard to case 081894, based on the city's presentation, I find the respondent to be in compliance on that case. With that, we will now return to 081893 and what remains to be done.
Okay, on that one, it is Mr. Klieg is the inspector, and we're asking for, it is still in non-compliance. We're asking for a $200 a day fine, to $15,000 for failure to obtain a rental license, and then a $250 fee for failure to obtain a business tax receipt. I will tender Mr. Klieg so that he can give you the factual information on these violations.
Okay. Mr. Inspector.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Officer Klieg. My credentials are on file. He was supposed to get a rental license last month. He said he was going to go down and apply for one. He has never even applied for a rental license or a business tax receipt. So I have not heard from him since day one. The only time I ever talked to him was at the hearing last month, and other than that.
Have you ever been in the house?
No. When I posted a property, the people on that were parking on the grass slammed the door in my face and said they were tenants and to leave them alone. So.
Back up, say that part again now.
When I was posting the property, the people that were parking on the grass slammed the door in my face and said they were tenants, to leave them alone, to talk, contact the owner.
And that would be very nice.
Yeah, well.
And now they're in compliance on that one?
On parking on the grass, yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, is the only failure here the failure to obtain the rental license, or is it the failure to do whatever work was needed in order to qualify for a rental license?
He never even applied for the rental
license. Never even applied.
Right.
Very good. All right. Then I will fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day commencing.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure the record was clear on something because of Mr. Copeland. I did meet with Mr. Copeland along with some inspectors, and it wasn't specific to this property. It was the number of properties he had. He was made aware that he needed to get this into compliance, but I just wanted to make sure that I don't want him to I want to make sure that's represented, that it's on record. We did meet. We did talk. However, he needed to get the property into compliance. The inspector sat with him on that issue, and it remains in non-compliance. Not sure why he's not here today.
Well, he was served with his notice of violation.
Oh, yes. He
so he knows we're here.
Yes.
All right. I will fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day commencing November 8, 2018, and that fine will continue to accrue thereafter until such time as the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. In addition to that, the respondent will also be ordered to pay the $250 administrative fee for the business tax receipt. Does that take care of all of it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now we go down to case number 12, Anthony Levercia, L-E-V-E-R-C-I-A. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city? Okay.
Kimberly Anthony, 1649 Cedar Highlands Boulevard, Daytona Beach, Florida. I do.
Okay. I'm sorry, your last name again?
Anthony.
And what is your affiliation with our respondent, Mr. Anthony Levercia?
That was my mother. She passed away in 2000.
That was your mother?
Yes, she passed away in 2000.
Okay.
Anthony, the last name?
Yes.
So her name is
Anthony?
Yes.
Okay. Are we all right to proceed here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Roofing without a permit, peeling paint, and junk boat. This is here for a determination of compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ms. Anthony, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
The junk boat is gone, but the re-roofing without a permit, I had paid somebody to do some roofing, didn't know I needed a permit. And I got some paint and stuff, but I don't have no one to paint the house.
Okay. All right. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Let's hang on 1 second. Let's hear from the city as far as what they think needs to be done, and then we'll talk some more.
Yeah, Mr. Vakelter, we had a notice issue. This had come was on the agenda for last month, but we had a notice issue, so we re-noticed it, but we just kind of left it in its order since we were returning from the prior month. But we did have to re-notice, so that's why we're finding doing the compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Cliff Reconzone, and Mr. Reconzone had not had any contact with Ms. Anthony, and so, but he believes they should be able to comply by next cutoff, and I would tender Mr. Reconzone if you have any other facts or questions.
Okay. Mr. Inspector, what are we looking at?
If I haven't seen the boat been removed yet. I haven't seen it. If the boat's removed, there would just be the paint in the house and pulling a permit and having the work done on the roof. Most of the roof has been completed. It's just the rear part of the roof that still needs to be completed and a permit pulled.
Okay. All right, Ms. Anthony.
Yes.
The city says we need some painting work done. Sounds like we need to get a permit for whatever roof work has been done already.
Okay.
And then we need to finish the roof.
Okay. I just need somebody to help me go about doing that because I have no idea. I've just been paying people what I can afford to do stuff to the house.
I understand. So. The city is suggesting you ought to be able to get these things done by
the boat is already gone. My brother had paid someone to pull that boat out, and
okay.
It's been gone for
all
a while
right.
now.
The city is suggesting you ought to be able to get this stuff done by December 5, 2018. What say you to that?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
do you have a roofer already?
No, sir.
Okay. So you're going to need to get a roofer.
Okay.
And then you're going to need to find a roofer who's qualified.
Okay.
And then he's going to need to file a permit application, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to have to be reviewed and approved.
Okay.
And then that all has to be done before your roofer can go out there and do some work. Now, I'm not trying to be condescending here. You just sound a little uncertain about that December 5th date, and I want to make sure you understand what you're saying yes to here.
Because I have a very sick husband at the time, and I'm trying my best to do things at the house.
I understand.
But,
so that's why I want to kind of explain these things. And you've got somebody helping you with the painting.
No, I bought paint. I've been buying paint little by little since I got this notice, but I just don't have nobody to paint the house. But
okay.
Me, it's just me, so I don't know what I'm going to
do. Have you ever obtained a building permit before?
No.
All right.
That's my mom's house, and it's been paid off, but she's deceased. It's just
I understand.
Me there.
All right, well, let's do this for starters. I'm going to order the respondent come into compliance by January 2, 2019.
Okay.
Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay.
Now, having said all that mean stuff, what you need to do here
uh-huh.
is you need to get in touch with someone at the city
okay.
to see if they can help walk you through this process
okay.
because it sounds like you're unfamiliar with permits and permitting
mm-hmm.
and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want you to waste a lot of time, and I don't want
okay.
you throwing money at people that aren't qualified or aren't deserving to have the money
exactly.
either.
Yeah.
So one of the primary things is you need to get a permit for the work that's been done already.
Okay.
And I'm sure you're going to have to find a qualified licensed roofer, you know, to even get that process started.
Okay.
So I would just urge you to get in touch with the Building and Zoning Department for the city.
Okay.
And I'm sure they'll help walk you through it.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Case number 13, Cassandra Lee. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Ms. Vakelja, the inspector in this case is Cliff Reconzone. Mr. Reconzone reports that he's had no contact from the respondent. This case was initiated from tenant complaint. He's asking that the property remains in non-compliance. He's asking for a $200 a day fine be imposed to a maximum of $15,000, and I would tender Mr. Reconzone.
Okay.
Oh, that's the one. Oh. I'm being reminded that the property is in foreclosure, and it's actually scheduled for a foreclosure hearing for a trial. Scheduled for trial on December 17th. But I believe what we'd want to do is move forward.
Okay. All right. Mr. Reconzone. Has the respondent done anything to come into compliance?
No, sir.
No. Okay. That's easy. Has the respondent made any effort to contact you?
No, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day commencing November 8, 2018 and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the property is brought into compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of, did you say $10,000 or $15,000?
$15,000.
Until the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. All right, we now turn to our new cases. Heron Development Group Limited.
Jeff Godfrey, 7491 North Federal Highway, Boca Raton, Florida.
Sure.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you gave your best provided is true, you know, truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Yes, sir. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
There was a violation I was made aware of on September the 27th, and I as soon as I heard about it, I acted proactively and took care of the matter, and I'm in full compliance on all the properties.
Okay. Do you agree the violation had existed?
It was overgrown, grass, yeah.
All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. The respondent tells me he's already in compliance now, so what more do you need? An inspection?
No, sir. We were prepared to announce that, acknowledge he's in compliance. In fact, this is the same respondent for
the
next four cases, and it's all the same circumstance. It's an overgrown lot. Because it is overgrown lot, we want the finding of compliance, noncompliance.
We brought him up here from Boca Raton for that?
I don't know what conversations they've had.
I'm kidding. So am I to understand the city is telling me we're in compliance on cases 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18?
14, 15, 16, 17.
Yes, sir. All right. I assume you have no problem with that.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. You have a...
Take care.
All right. Case number 14 is in compliance. Case number 15 is in compliance. Case number 16 is in compliance.
Well, we wanted the finding of non-compliance compliance because of it being a overgrown site.
All right.
So to repeat the...
With regard to cases 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, based on what I understand the respondent had to say, the properties were in non-compliance. So for those cases, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance, and further now find that the respondent is in compliance. Okay?
Yes, sir. Nothing further.
Brings us up to case 19. Robert Matuzak. Anyone here for the respondent?
It's Christine Henley, and it's 705 East Lake Drive, Columbia, Missouri.
Is that H-E-N?
H-E-N, as in nickel.
L-E-Y.
Correct.
Richard Henley. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony of your back
is about
truthful
truth and nothing? I do. Yes, ma'am. Your affiliation with Robert J. Matuzak?
He's my younger brother, sir.
Okay. And do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I was informed of it yesterday.
Okay. Why are you here on behalf of your younger brother, just out of curiosity?
My brother's a complete quadriplegic,
okay. And
he's currently bedbound with some pretty severe bed sores. And that's part of why
Lexington
I came down
Drive.
Was just helping
I believe out. We've met your brother before, possibly.
He's been a quad for 30 years.
I think he's been here before the special magistrate before, because I have this sense he has a number of caretakers that
right.
perhaps passed through the house.
Right.
This is the house across from Caribbean Jacks,
correct.
That channel.
Correct.
Okay. All right, outside storage and parking on the grass. All right, did I already find the respondent in noncompliance? Okay, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation? Do you agree that there was outside storage and parking on the grass?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. And what's the... Okay, are 262 and 266 two separate addresses?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I have is 266. Here.
All right. Well, right now we're on 262.
Okay. I'm not aware of that one. So I flew in just this weekend to kind of help him out, to hire care attendants to help him get stuff settled. So I don't know what's going on with the 262. The 266, he has a pod that's been emptied since he was given this notice. And the pod people, my understanding is the pod people are not responding to him. They're not picking it up. So I would like to request, one, maybe an extension, and two, how do I get these people to respond?
Okay, first off, 262, apparently Ms. Henley is not familiar with that property, so let me hear from an inspector who can confirm.
Well, I'm familiar with the property. I'm not familiar with what's going on.
You're not familiar with the violation.
Right.
So who can attest to the violation for me? Mr. Garcia.
Yes. Daniel Garcia, code enforcement.
What's the violation you observed?
I'm with the City of Daytona Beach. Credentials are on file. The issues are...
Which that's all cleaned up now.
No, there's still some outside storage.
We're talking 262 now.
Both of them, yeah.
Okay.
There's also still parking on the grass. And for the 262 one, there's a pod. The pod is belonging to the owner. The owner's got the pod on the driveway. He has not moved it. Because of that pod being on the driveway, the tenants are parking on the grass. They would like the pod removed. I tried to speak to the owner. I was only able to speak to a worker that was on the property who went in and told them. I even took it upon myself to call the number on the pod to see if I can get it removed. I've left them messages to contact me, and they have not done so.
With our same response, I guess.
All right.
And the pod is empty. He did have storage in the pod.
She's correct. From what I heard, there was items belonging to the owner in the pod. The owner had removed the items in the pod, and it is now empty. I heard that I don't know. This is hearsay. I heard that he had called to have the pod removed, and they have not removed it.
Do we know why they haven't? They haven't returned your call.
Apparently, from what I heard, he owes money on it, and they're just letting it sit. Which
and they're going to leave it there until they get paid?
I'm sorry.
That's interesting. Okay. All right. Well, in any event, based on Inspector Garcia's testimony, I find the respondent in noncompliance. How much time to come into compliance?
I'd say by next cutoff, sir.
Okay. The city is suggesting that by December 5, 2018, you ought to be able to come into compliance, and it sounds like compliance is... making sure we have no more, is the outside storage, okay, is making, I guess we got to get rid of the pod. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
And then thinking is once the pod's gone, then the parking on the grass stops?
With the one. Yeah, I didn't know about the two.
What was the question, sir?
December 5, 2018, what do we have to do to come into compliance? Remove the pod?
Yes, sir.
And stop parking
and also,
on the grass?
Correct. And also the outside storage. There's debris on both sides of the house, okay. Of both houses.
All right. The city is saying you need to have that taken care of by December 5, 2018. Is that enough time to get it done?
I hope so. I'm going back to Missouri tomorrow, so I'm trying to line up people to help him. A lot of that is all cleaned up.
Okay.
There's been a big effort made. The question I have, so this white van, that is his van. Can he not park that on his front yard? Because he really doesn't have, like, a driveway. If we can click on that again. I see the white van? Oh, go back. See the white van there?
Mm-hmm.
So that's on his front yard. That's his handicapped van.
It's my understanding you can't park on a yard, period.
Correct. It's an unimproved driveway.
So can we see the side of the building? I'm just trying to clarify where he can park. So we're not in.
Inspector on it.
I can do a walkthrough with her.
All right.
I kind of remember that as being, what we're remembering this case from was the parking on the... Of his van and wanting... some relief for that. So that's what we remember this from. But that's quite a number of years ago, very long time ago.
Well, so you'll help walk me through. We'll go to the side. Okay.
All right, I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
When you get one,
when?
Case number 20, Robert Matuzak, okay. Outside storage and parking on the grass. This is at 266 Lexington. Do you agree those violations existed or occurred at 266?
Right, yes.
I find the respondent noncompliance. Mr. City Inspector, what needs to be done to come into compliance? More of the same?
Yes, sir. Same exact.
Okay. And how much time should it take for her to come into compliance?
The same.
All right. The city says you ought to be able to take care of that one by December 5, 2018 as well. What say you to that, Ms. Henley?
We'll make it so.
Make it happen, Captain. Order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I'm cognizant of the fact that your brother is handicapped and you are from Missouri. So if you start running into snafus as you try to long-distance coordinate all this stuff, get in touch with Mr. Garcia and let him know what's going on. Because if you get jammed up, and I have a feeling you're going to, then you'll need him on your side. And the best way to do that is to keep him fully informed as to what's going on and showing him you're doing everything you reasonably can to come into compliance. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
And if I could just say one thing, Mr. Vakalja, the history has been, and I think she's acknowledging that as well, is that they hadn't had any contact. So it's real important, as he said, to have contact with the inspector, but also whoever's local, making sure that you inform them, but just kind of keep the inspector up on what's going on.
Good luck to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Case number 21, L.A. Phillip Incorporated.
Alex Afghani, 5955 Marlow Circle. A-F-G-H-A-N-I.
Is there
any?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to
provide
is truthful?
Yes, sir. And your affiliation with L.A. Phillip Incorporated?
Yes, sir. I'm the owner.
Very good. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent noncompliance. All right, let me turn to the city here and ask them how much time they think it should take in order for you to come into compliance.
Yeah, Mr. Vakalja, the inspector, John Stinson, and Mr. Stinson reports that the respondent is working on it and he believes that he can have it. It is complaint generated. He believes he can have it done by next cutoff. So that's our request.
All right, Mr. Afghani, the city seems to think you ought to be able to take care of this by December 5, 2018. What say you to that?
Well, I did some of the, you know, some of the items I did, I cleaned, but I pulled a general contractor who's going to do the roofing work, and I need a little more time for that.
All right. Is your contractor all right, prepared to start making permit applications and what have you?
He filled the paper yesterday.
Okay.
And, but, you know, he did, you know, I had really to find somebody, and it's hard to find contractor for a little job. And okay. I'm trying to work with Mr. Stinson.
All right. So when would you hope everything is done?
I'm hoping by January, next January meeting, I should hopefully be at least finished most of them.
Okay. All right, Mr. City Attorney. Mr. Afghani tells me he has a contractor on board. He believes the contractor's already initiated some effort with the city, presumably to get a permit, and he is requiring additional time to attend to the damaged roof and is requesting or suggesting he needs additional time. What say you to that?
Mr. Stinson is agreeable to that. He believes January cutoff would be that additional time, and that would be a reasonable amount of time.
All right. Then I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by January 2, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, your January compliance date is right at the front of the month, and I know you indicated you might need more time. So if your roofer can get it done, great. If he starts running into scheduling problems or other delays, you stay in touch with that gentleman right there.
Yes.
And as long as you've kept him informed and you've shown him you've done everything you reasonably can, he'll be satisfied.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Case 22, West International Speedway Boulevard, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Here we are. We have respondents.
Good morning.
Good morning.
George Lopez.
I'm Caroline Bartovitz. I lease 1490 West International.
Caroline
Bartovitz. B-A-R-D-A-V-A-S.
Raise your right hand.
And what is y'all's affiliation with 1448-1490 West International Speedway Boulevard, LLC?
I'm Caroline. I lease 1490 West International. I don't own the mall. I lease the space on 1490 West International.
Okay. And Mr. Lopez, what's your affiliation?
I've been with her 30 years.
Okay, well, there you go. All right. Mr. City Attorney?
I'm sorry. Ms. Vakelja, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. This is the old Outback location, and the inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property is in noncompliance, and he's asking for the next cutoff for them to bring it into compliance. Now, I'd have to turn to Mr. Stinson to, if you need further factual.
Well, first thing I was wondering is, do we, as I understand, you're a tenant of the respondent?
Yes.
I'm a tenant of the property. Mr.
Right.
Vindicat, I don't know. We're just waiting for a reinspection.
Okay. Are you the corporation?
We're LLC,
we're,
but not for
we're
that.
We're in the mix. No, we're in the mix, a tenant of that property. So when it set the stage, I said, okay, it was us, but we were waiting for a reinspection.
We're not the owners of the property.
We
are the, my wife and my daughter is the tenant there.
Okay.
There was a portable stage there. We removed it, and we thought we came here for that.
That's all I thought.
And we couldn't get a business license unless they came down to inspect. And a month ago, we told them to come inspect, and nobody has showed up yet.
So you're looking to get your permit so you can get...
That is correct. And I already applied for the health department. I have all the paperwork that I paid for that inspection.
All right, hang on a second. We're going to get there one way or another. No problem. This is the old Outback building?
Yes.
Oh, this is the one. Is this the one that was in that strip center?
Yes, sir.
Okay, gotcha.
We're going to call both asking from our planning zoning division that she can come and maybe.
Well, I had a preliminary question here. We don't have the respondent here.
He's there. He was there. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, that would help.
Okay.
That's why I say things like, is there anyone here for the respondent? Okay. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name.
Hey, my name is Venkat Gudipati. VenkatGudipati.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is true, whole truth, and nothing but truth?
Yes.
And you are West International Speedway Boulevard, LLC?
Yeah, I'm the manager for that.
You're the manager. So you can speak on their behalf.
Yes.
And these folks are your tenants.
Yes.
And you're authorizing them to look for the relief they're asking for. Trust me on this one more.
No, I'm only authorizing for the restaurant business only there.
Got it. All right. Let's go. All right.
Yes, I do. Good morning. Rose Askew, Planning Department with the City of Daytona Beach. We've met with Mr. Venkat, who is the authorized agent for the property, and we've also met with Mr. Lopez and his wife. They are leasing. This property came in to... We found out about this property because a nightclub was opened there without a license. There has been some work done inside without licenses. We've been working with Mr. Lopez to pull his permits to take all of that work out or to have someone to come in and inspect it. As of now, he took down the stage. He's saying he took it down. We don't know because he never came in and pulled the permits. So at this point, we can't say that he's in compliance. I met with the property owner and their manager, who have both told us it can only be a restaurant. The property had been altered to be a nightclub, which is not allowed there. So as it stands right now, from my last discussion with the property owner, there are some issues they've got to work out with him before the city is allowed to do anything at this point.
Can I speak?
You're all going to get to speak. Okay. Relax. Hang on a second.
Can it be resolved by next month?
It's resolved already.
They're going to ask our person.
I don't know. It's according to what they've got to work out with the property owner. It has nothing to do with the city. That's outside of us. So those are issues they've got to work out with the property owner, but they also need to, if he has removed that stage, he's got to pull a permit before anybody will come out to inspect it.
Caroline, relax,
please. Can I speak, please?
In a second.
Okay.
I still haven't gotten what I need here yet. All right, so they are allowed to have what there?
According to the property owner, a restaurant only.
Restaurant only.
Yes,
and your suspicion is they're trying to open a nightclub.
Correct. That is what happened.
Somewhere along the line, a stage got built.
Yes, sir.
And you're telling me there were no permits obtained for it.
Correct.
And so you subsequently notified them they either had to remove it or they had to find somebody to come in to get permits for it.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And you haven't been in there to inspect it since then.
That's correct.
Very good. Okay. Is there anything else I need from this lady?
No.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, now.
Okay.
What's the plan?
The plan is everything that they explained to you was correct, except for I didn't know that you needed a permit to take a portable stage down because it was never bolted. It was wheeled in.
Okay.
So we took the stage out, and when we took it out, we spoke to Glenn. Glenn came down to inspect it, not the stage. He said, you got to get it. I called him the next day, and I said, Glenn, the building department, it's gone. When could you come down? As we filed the paperwork that was here, we gave it to them. I called Rose when she was sick. You got to come inspect it. Last week, I gave them the health department papers, and I said, tell somebody come inspect it because the stage has been gone for almost a month. Let's speak.
Everything that he just said, and on top of it,
what he said.
I have a hard time getting with the property manager. This is, well, I had to come up, have him come up to a stage to speak.
Okay, well, first off, it's being suggested that what you're doing is opening a nightclub.
No, we were not.
Not a nightclub. Okay, hang on a second, bear with me. So if we're not opening a nightclub, what do we need a stage for?
It was for karaoke because we told
her. It was for entertainment. We have a bar and grill.
Yeah. It was supposed to be for weddings, bar mitzvah, party, karaoke.
Okay.
It wasn't for nightclubs because my family has been involved in nightclubs for a long time, and we did not want a nightclub there. Came down and rectified it.
Okay. Now, let's back up here. Now, let's get back to the business at hand. The business at hand is lack of required permits for stage, failure to obtain business tax receipt. Do you have a business tax
receipt? We apply for all that. They have to wait for the health department from the state
of
Tallahassee.
So it stands you don't have it yet.
Right,
no.
But we have the paperwork that we applied.
Understand. And and you didn't get permits for the stage because
it was portable.
In your belief it was portable and no permits were required.
Right. Mm-mm.
All right, so it sounds as though we're in agreement, at least, that we needed a business tax receipt.
No, but I applied for all that. They gave me a number at the beginning.
Bear with me. All right? I find the respondent in noncompliance. Now, as awful as that sounds, now let's talk about what do we need to do to come into compliance. These folks tell you they're not. These folks say they're not putting a. What did I say? A nightclub.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Sykes, I'll have him speak to that, Mr. Bukelja. But one of the things that he will tell you is that their original application for business tax receipt said nightclub on it, as what they were requesting.
They can show you that because I know what I applied for, but the ladies helped me fill it in. The tall lady with the gray shirt, because I was having a hard time.
Folks, ditch the history lesson. Let's start moving forward here. All right, they know they can't have a nightclub regardless of what they did in the past. So now the question is, what does it take to come into compliance?
Yeah, Denzel Sykes, City of Daytona Beach, Neighborhood Services Manager. This property came on to our radar, more or less, because of flyers that were sent out, and also I think a couple of calls came to the police department where I sent some of the first that was going to have a Labor Day bash, and, which is the flyer.
It didn't get to open. It never happened.
Caroline.
Sorry.
And prior to that, the police were called out because of a party, over 100-some guests there. And, well, so, therefore, it was trying to be open as a nightclub, and we got involved, and it was myself, Mrs. Askew, the permits department. We all went out, did an inspection, met with Mr. Lopez, told him what he could and could not do at that time.
Okay.
And I've been back several times, and the stage has remained there. So if it's gone, it's gone now, and we received no phone call for a reinspection.
Okay. Okay. Stop. Everyone stop scurrying around for a second. All right. Now, they say you can only be a restaurant. You understand that?
I understand. We wrote it.
They say, I believe you. They say you can't be a nightclub. You don't have
that.
Any plans on being a nightclub.
I explained that to her so many times.
Okay,
that
that's fine.
Going to be that.
Well, yeah. Apparently they're being skeptical because of things that have taken place previous to this. I'm the one trying to bring this back to planet Earth.
Okay. Can I just
the reason you're
thing?
Here... What?
Can I say one more thing, please?
Sure.
Right here, you can see that it doesn't say nightclub. Can I step over
it? Absolutely.
Thank you.
It says restaurant, tavern, bar, lounge. Okay, what's wrong with those?
It didn't say club, though.
I understand. All right, okay.
Not the initial application.
Pardon?
That's not the initial application, according to my... Nothing we have to resolve.
Folks, let's separate for a second, okay? We got other folks that want to be heard from here. All right. You understand it can't be a nightclub, can't be a restaurant. All right. You're telling me there were no permits required for the stage. So to come into compliance with that, and if the stage is gone, sounds like if the stage is gone, we're done with the permits, are we not?
Yes. What else do you need?
Mr. Lopez.
No.
Okay, when I turn my head this way, that means I'm asking these people that. So we need to get the business tax receipt, and whatever else, if he's going to have a stage, he has to have a permit for it.
He can't have a stage. It's not allowed. In our land development code, stages constitute nightclubs. That's part of the definition for a nightclub.
Well,
he
I'll
can't
let
have the
him,
stage.
I'll let them take that up with your building and zoning department, and if y'all want to fight over what ordinances do or do not mean, then go... Get your attorneys and go at it. But right now,
yeah.
They say there's not going to be a nightclub there. And she's telling you if you've got indicators in there that look like a nightclub and quacks like a nightclub and looks like a nightclub, then they're going to consider it a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
All
right. So how much time have I found the respondent in noncompliance? Don't know how that got lost. How much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
They can come today.
They can come right now.
Okay.
Can I say something? Because I'm a little bit...
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mr. City Attorney, let me ask you a question, please. How much time should it take to come into compliance?
The inspector believes that they can be in compliance by next cutoff. And that's all
December
5th. Yes, sir.
And compliance means there's no stage... Or there's a permit for a stage.
No stage. We don't want no stage.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Compliance means there's no stage and there is a business tax receipt.
Yes,
correct?
Sir.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm not going to ask you any more questions. I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen. Okay. I'm ordering the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, for you to come into compliance and avoid that, it sounds as though all you need to do is get your business tax receipt. And if the stage is gone, the stage is gone. If you hope to bring a stage back, then it sounds as though you're going to have to get permits for it. And if that's the case, then you contact the city.
No stage.
Okay? No stage.
No stage.
Okay.
How about the lighting?
Is that it?
That's it.
I mean, we've turned a molehill into one heck of a mountain here.
Yep. Let's go. That's it. Thank you
all
so
right,
much.
So, now I just want to make sure we're clear here.
No state.
All you need to do between now and December 5th is you need to get that business tax receipt.
So we can go downstairs and pay for it right now and get it, being that everything's all proved up?
You probably could. And if there's going to be, and now the learning part here is that the stage, according to the city, converts you into a nightclub.
Got it.
So if you're going to have a stage, you have to apply for a permit. So that can go through whatever process it has to go through if you want to try to do that. We all clear?
I'm clear.
Great.
Crystal.
Good luck to y'all.
Thank you.
Wish you
so
the best of luck.
I appreciate it. Everybody have a good day.
Case number 23, Greg E. Allen.
Dustin Allen, 840 Pine Forest Trail West, Port Orange, Florida.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is
truthful,
truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. Are you affiliated with Greg Allen?
I am his son.
Your son, okay. All right. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent non-compliance. All right, if you don't mind, let me speak to our city attorney for a moment and see what his opinion is with regard to how much time it should take for you to come into compliance.
Mr. McCullough, the inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that it should be in compliance by next cutoff. No real issues that should hinder compliance.
Okay, Mr. Allen? Where's this building located? Is this about four or five doors down from ISP?
Yes.
It used to be like a Fiat dealership.
Yeah, in the 80s, I believe.
Yep, because my father's upholstery store was about four or five more doors down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a restaurant equipment place. It's actually in the process of being sold right now, and I'm in the process of getting everything out.
Okay. All right, in any event, they're suggesting all this work should be done by December 5, 2018. What say you to that?
Pretty much, yes. I'm mostly done with it now, but I'll be pretty much done by the end of the week.
Okay.
Hopefully.
All right. Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018.
Right.
Or be returned to the special. Have I found him in compliance? Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Okay.
You start coming up short on that compliance date for reasons beyond your control, talk to Mr. Stinson over there.
Okay.
And as long as you stay in touch with him and let him know what's going on, we're all happy.
I plan on calling for inspection probably end of the week, beginning next week.
Very good. Good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Case number 24, Cecilia Mercedes Diaz.
Oh, we should have announced this earlier. We're withdrawing that. We've been able to confirm a new owner, so we'll initiate the case with the new owner.
All right. Case number 25 is in compliance. Case number 26, Solis Family Trust and Francesca Solis Fami as trustee. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Dave Lieb, 25 Kingsbridge Crossing Drive, Ormond Beach. Yes, I do.
And what is your affiliation with the respondent?
Friends of the family, and once everything's gotten ready, we're going to be listing the property. I'm a real estate agent here in town.
Okay. Mr. City Attorney, are we satisfied that we have a representative of the respondent here that we can, no offense, rely upon, legally speaking?
Well, what I'll rely upon is his appearance of being a real estate agent by his representation of his badge and his sworn statement, and I'll rely upon that representation.
If you're satisfied, I'm satisfied.
Okay. Mr. Kelter, this is before you for determination of compliance and noncompliance. The inspector is Mark Jones.
Mr. Jones reports that he expects that they'll be able to have this in compliance easily by next month. I think they're well on the way. I think they were waiting for, I think you said maybe a window or something, but it's something that should be in compliance by next cutoff. And I will attend to Mr. Jones.
Well, it sounds like we don't have a whole lot of dispute. Do you agree the violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. The city's proposing you be done by December 5, 2018. Is that doable?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 27, Mary and William E. Gordon III, joint tenants with rights of survivorship. Anyone here for the respondent?
Mary Gordon, 546 Rio Vista, Daytona Beach, Florida. Oh, I did.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony to your
back
provided is true?
Yes, I do.
Ms. Gordon, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I do.
I find the respondent in noncompliance. Let me speak to our attorney for a moment, Mr. City Attorney. How much time does the city think should reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
Ms. Vakowski, the inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that he believes it can be in compliance by next cutoff. This is four rental units. They changed a whole bunch of windows without, replaced the windows without permits, and that's the main thing that's the holdup. So they just got to get those inspected and pulled, and they should be fine.
All right. Ms. Gordon, do we think we can have this in compliance by December 5, 2018?
I called Window World yesterday and paid for the permit and asked them to get it done as soon as possible. And that's because I was told I cannot pull a permit myself, correct? So
I don't think so, but they're the experts, not me.
Right. So if they get, I mean, they know. As soon as he was out, I called him on my phone, and I showed him proof that I did call, and she sent me and said it's paid for, but trying to get them out because I'm obviously not very happy with Window World. It'll
be my
last.
You're at their mercy.
Pardon?
You're at their mercy.
Yeah, well.
You ordered the work, and you paid for it. So now
yes,
you're
they're all
them.
Paid for, and it's a lousy job, and this permit thing, they had no idea that I was doing it for my rental thing. They just thought I was doing it because I've used them for years, and it's always been very good. They've changed a lot of their help, I think, or something, because I'm glad that it's going to be inspected because it's a lousy job, right?
Okay. All right. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And if Window World starts jamming you up, stringing you out, delaying, what have you, stay in touch with Mr. Jones. Let him know what's going on, because if you end up running late, he will be your best friend as far as any need for additional time, as long as he's satisfied that you've stayed on top of it.
Okay, I did stress to them the importance of doing this ASP and how much time does it take to go down and get a permit. How long should I give them before I start to really, you know, I mean, to me, I think a week for them to get down there and get it.
I would at least contact them weekly, that's for sure.
But I can't get it.
You can't get what?
The permit. I mean, I paid for it.
I understand. Window World's, I from what I understand, what you said.
They should have got it.
Part of their engagement is to get the permit.
Yes.
Okay.
So just wait for them. Now, well, will I be charged that $1,000 if for some reason they don't get it? I mean,
if you sit around and do nothing and they do nothing, then yes.
I'll text them so I've got proof.
Well, again, I would check in with the city to see if a permit's been pulled. I'd be contacting Window World as much as is reasonably required, and if they're not getting out there when you hope they would be, I would contact Mr. Jones to let him know what you've done and where you stand.
All right, fine. And how long do they have to come and do the inspection? Or, no, they get that and then the inspector comes out.
As soon as you're ready for your inspection, you give Mr. Jones a call, and I'm sure he'll be out there promptly.
All right. Thank
Very
you,
good.
Sir.
Good luck to you. Case number 28 is in compliance. Case number 29, 314 Aura Investors of Florida, LLC.
Good afternoon.
Donald Harkins. The address in question is 314 Aura Street, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32118. I do. Yes, sir, I'm sorry, your last name again? Harkins. Harkins?
Yes.
Mr. Harkins, you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Give me a moment. Let me ask our city attorney as to how much time he thinks it should take for you to come into compliance, then I'll ask you the same.
Mr. Kelty, this property failed a rental inspection back in July, and there was never any follow-up after they failed for rescheduling. The inspector indicates he had had no contact with anyone until yesterday, and that's this gentleman who says he's taken over property management of the property. The inspector is Mark Jones, and Mr. Jones reports that for what they need to do to come into compliance, they should be able to do that by next cutoff. So we're requesting next cutoff for compliance.
Okay. Mr. Harkins, the city seems to think you ought to be able to come into compliance with whatever it is that needs to be done by December 5, 2018. What say you to that?
Do you think we could have 30 days? December 5th is just what?
Well, it depends. What is it you're doing? I don't even know what needs to be done.
We just got a list of a legible list from Mr. Jones yesterday. We just took the property over, the management of the property over, on November 1st. So we didn't know anything about this stuff. But we were looking at the list that Mr. Jones had handwritten, and I spoke with Mark yesterday. So he faxed me emailed me a specific list, just windows that were off the track, and some of them were nailed shut, screens were missing, and stuff like that. But December 5th is like 2 weeks from now.
Inspector reports, I'm sorry, excuse me. The inspector reports that he also hasn't actually inspected one of the units, though. So he doesn't have a problem with the January date. And so that we can get everything taken care of, it still needs the inspection of the additional unit and make sure he has everything done.
All right. How quickly do you want to get out there and inspect whatever it is you need to inspect?
I'll call you as soon as we can get the guys out there as soon as we can.
What I would like is that we could get out to see the third unit, so if there's a list that needs to be prepared for that, I can get that to Mr. Harkins so they can get all three of the units corrected.
Okay. All right. Well, I will have I found the respondent in noncompliance? I will order the respondent to come into compliance by January 2, 2019, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And since you have this third unit and might be looking at a supplemental list, I guess I would urge you to make it available for inspection ASAP.
Okay.
So that you'll have more time to take care of whatever may need to be taken care of.
Thank you.
So the two of you get in touch on that. Very good. Good luck to you.
Okay, thanks.
Up the next one, too, yes. Pardon? All right, case number 30. 314 Aura Investors of Florida, LLC. Mr. Harkins, are you here on behalf of that one as well?
Yes, sir.
No permit, installed parking pavers. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
Yes, Mr. Bacalja, the inspector is Mark Johnson. This as well. This is a situation where they're in a redevelopment area. They installed them. They weren't permitted to. They, in fact, had a stop work order. They continued installation anyway and finished the installation. So probably going to have to remove them, but they should be able to do that by next.
Pavers?
I don't know that exactly, but I don't know the exact answer. I don't think my inspector knows right now, but
all right.
But they were installed, and they were installed after they were given a stop work order and weren't permitted to install them. So, nevertheless, we believe that they should be able to have that in compliance by next cutoff.
Are the parking pavers just out front?
Yes, they took the whole front of the area and made it into parking pavers and also down one side. And when they submitted for a permit, an after-the-fact permit, they were informed by Mr. Berger that it did not meet the land development code for parking. And they submitted for a permit back in August 13th. I have been in contact with the contractor and the only solution they have is either to remove them or attempt to submit for a variance, which they haven't done yet.
Okay. Mr. Harkins, this one might be a little thorny.
No, I have this taken care of.
Oh, I like that attitude.
Mr. Berger was supposed to be here, but he's agreed to waive the variance. I was just down in the permitting office, and Angela down there has spoken to the contractor. And as long as the pavers are not in compliance now by 3 feet on the property line, so she on the one side of the property line. So she spoke with the contractor. He's going to come in and apply for the contract for the permit again, submitting drawings that and bring the pavers in 3 feet from where they are now, which will bring them into compliance and grant the permit.
All right. So in any event, you think you can have this done by December 5th?
I think, again, that's like 2 weeks from now. So if we could do January 5th, that would be great. I don't know how quickly Pinnacle Pavers can get out there. Maybe, but I'd like to play it safe and go with January 5th.
All right, I'll order the respondent to come into compliance on this one by January 2, 2019 as well, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And I'm also taking into consideration, I hope you don't have to, but if you have to obtain a variance as a result of any of this, then I'm factoring that into the time that's being allotted. So
okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 31, Catherine V. and John E. Martin. Oh, it's in compliance. Case number 32, Orman Breeze LLC trustee under Florida Land Trust 712. Anyone here for the respondent? 712 Georgia Street. All right, what say the city?
Ms. Vakalja, the inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones' report said this property remains in noncompliance. They paid for a rental inspection back on, or a license on 9/27, but they it's pending a date. They have to schedule it, not getting any return calls. So as of right now, they're in noncompliance. We believe they can come to compliance by next cutoff.
Based on the city attorney's report, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondents to be in noncompliance and order the respondents to come into compliance by December 5, 2018 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 33, Help You Now Consulting Corporation and Alan Hippolyte. Good morning.
Hi. Shirley Gabriel, 446 North Keach Street.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony of your testimony is the whole truth and nothing but truth?
Ms. Gabriel, do you, first off, what's your affiliation with Help You Now Consulting Corporation and Alan Hippolyte?
I'm the president. It's me.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Do you agree that this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, but the person that was there is out. I've been asking her to leave for like 2 months, and so she's out now, and I live in the property.
All right. All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. Let's hear from the city attorney as far as what we need to do to get you into compliance here.
Ms. Vakalja, the status right now is that the inspector would need to just confirm that she is no longer renting. She did submit a letter of no intent to rent. However, as of yesterday, he saw that she had a sign posted for rent, so marketing it for rent. So until all of those things resolve, she'll need to get with the inspector, make sure that any indication or suggestion of rental was gone before we would waive her requirement for the rental license. She's failed since she had previously failed rental inspection with a long list of violations. Nothing had been done, and so now she's saying that she's not going to rent the property, which will be fine. We just need to confirm that that's the status. So we'll ask for next cutoff to for her to be in compliance.
And for her to come into compliance, if she's not renting this property, she does what?
Well,
purges every bit of advertising that may be out there saying or suggesting this property is available for rent?
Yes, sir.
Or discontinues it, rather?
That's correct.
Very good. All right. Ms. Gabriel? If you would step up.
Okay.
Okay. It's my understanding you don't have any intent to rent this
property? I have no intent to rent it, and I had put on the letter that if I rent it again, I will come back and get a rental license in the affidavit. I put that there. Right. Okay. Now, I live off of people calling me to rent places, okay, or sell houses. So if I have it in one place, that property is not the one that I'm renting. It's something else. Okay, that's my life. Yeah, but I live at the property. Okay.
All right, well, the key here is that the property is not to be rented.
And like I said, the license is only $100. I will come back and get it if I'm going to rent it in the future.
Very good.
Okay.
All right, as long as you understand the property, hang on a second. As long as you understand the property is not to be rented until you obtain a rental license. So, I find the respondent in noncompliance, order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. As long as you understand it's not to be rented, as long as you don't overtly, hold it out as being available for rental without having obtained your rental license first, then you're fine.
Yeah.
And Mr. Couch, you're so chief aware that you're not in compliance until you satisfy the inspector and he actually puts an affidavit of compliance in the file.
He came over.
To follow up with him and make sure he gets that in there.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you. Case number 34, Gary W. and Yvette L. Dillman. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city? Illegal parking.
Okay, Mr. Calde, this is before you for determination of compliance. The inspector is Mike, compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald is reporting that the property is now in compliance, and he's asking for a finding of compliance, noncompliance, just for the sake of repeat violation.
All right, but, okay. So you're just looking for a determination of noncompliance, then a finding that he is now in compliance.
Yes,
any other relief being sought?
No other relief being sought. This is illegal parking, so just so that we don't have that reoccurring.
Okay, but I'm not imposing a will fine right now.
Well, that is, that's all will fine. It's your announcement of finding of compliance and then a noncompliance is what we would have called our will fine before.
So that's all you need from me?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay, noncompliance and compliance.
Based on our attorney's
eloquent
presentation and noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and further now find that the property has now been brought into compliance. That's it?
And any further violation, that's stuff.
So you want a will fine?
Yes, sir.
And that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Case number 35, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated.
Hi, morning. Good morning, Your Honor. Attorney Angela Hendry on behalf of GEA Seaside Investments.
And your last name again?
Hendry, H-E-N-D-S-N-D-O-G-R-Y.
Counselor, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, we agree to that.
All right. I find the respondent to be in noncompliance.
Your Honor, we're requesting 120 days just to rectify the issues in the notice. Drawings have to be requested an architect has to come in and do the drawings, and then we have to apply for a permit.
Okay. Well, hang on one second. Let's hear from the city and see what their thoughts were before we start imposing upon you. All right, Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
Ms. Vicalta, the inspector believes that they could be in compliance by next cutoff. She mentions these needs for architect and other things They were first notified in July. I know that this is the first time before you, so I don't know how much time it would take or what architectural needs they have based on the violations that I see. So the request of the inspector would be that she should be able to come into compliance by next cutoff.
All right, let's hear from Mr. Fitzgerald for a moment. What kind of work does the respondent need to do in order to come into compliance on this matter?
We can go through it. There's damage to the exterior of the building. There's damage near the roof. There's damage underneath the sinks. There's holes in the drywall. Electrical issues. More electrical issues. That was raining right through the fixture. Non-working fixture.
Okay, raining right through the fixture. Does that mean we have roof issues?
On the outside, there's a porch, and there's a deck on top of the porch, and maybe there's roof issues there. And then this is in a bedroom where they were trying to correct the electrical issue.
Come on, it wasn't
just a second, Ms. Henley. It's all right. Okay.
This is the garage where the leak from the roof was done, and they repaired it by putting in a whole new deck in.
And I assume this work's going to require permits.
And no permit was pulled.
And contractors.
Yes, sir.
And y'all think that can be done by December 5th?
The work's already done, but...
The work's already done.
I mean, they this is what it... Can you roll back, please? So that's all new decking and a complete new... there's a roof on top of that. And this is a new deck, completely brand new.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Ms. Hendry. All right, Ms. Hendry?
I was addressing the hole. I was in one of the photos. It was an electrical issue. It was an AC issue. And we're attempting to resolve that. As for the decking, we do need to retain an architect to come up with the drawings. And we're in the process of doing that.
Is this property occupied at present?
No, it is vacant.
And is it going to remain vacant during the course of construction?
Yes, Your Honor, it's going to remain vacant.
And how much time are you looking for?
120 days.
Hang on a second.
We were first notified about it in July. We immediately sent out a repairman and his crew, and then we were issued a stop work order 2 months after that.
Okay.
The decking issue was not stated in the notice of violation. That was only discovered.
Well, it wasn't
after.
Very clear. It's listed as exterior damage. Yes. So it sounds as though the scope of the work and the photographs regarding the scope of the work, you know, might be. Anyway, it looks as though there's a fair amount of work to be done. I'm not opposed to giving you to March 6th of 2019. As long as this property remains unoccupied until such time as it's brought into compliance. You got a problem with that?
No, not a problem, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Does the city have anything else they want to say before I make any kind of a determination? I mean, if these people are going to sink some money into this house and try to rehab it, I don't have a problem with that.
The city's perspective is that's a lot of time. But if they're going to do everything to high quality, then... We'd appreciate it.
Well, I mean, we talk about this decking. I mean, the decking sounds like it's a pretty big deal. Is it not?
Well, we just don't see it as part of what's
required. All I see is exterior damage. It's the photo that shows me the decking.
Okay.
So
educate me here, guys, if you think I'm
there was a leak
giving away
in
the
that
ramp.
Area, and I called out the leak and the damage for the interior of the structure. Their repair work is what caused another inspector to put a stop work order on it because their repair went way above what you can do without a permit. So
they did more work than they were being asked to do.
Right. They did way more work than what was...
Because they didn't have a permit to do it, we don't like that.
The exterior damage was mostly... Okay, the exterior damage was mostly siding and missing soffit. Just pieces of the like this, the damage there, and then around the corner,
on the soffit.
All right, Ms. Hendry, one more time. Why don't you describe for me the scope of the work as you understand it that the respondent anticipates doing at this location? Because I guess the city's saying that you can do something considerably less, perhaps, than what you have in mind, which would take less time.
Well, Your Honor, in order to repair the plywood that's falling in the garage, we would have to repair the upper deck. That requires drawings by an architect, and we already put in a request, and we're waiting for that to be done, and then we'll have to retain a contractor and apply for the permits. That takes time. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to, apply for a rental license and pass those inspections. You're asking me about the scope. The initial notice was more focused on the interior. A lot of these photos are from yesterday reinspection, because I believe that the reinspection had to do with the interior instead of the exterior. But I was informed that permits would have to be applied for the first notice for us to be in compliance regarding the first notice. So.
So it's your understanding that there's going to be architect's plans that'll have to be prepared?
Yes.
Obviously permits to be applied for and what have you?
Yes, sir.
You're telling me you anticipate this could be upwards of a 4-month project?
Yes, Your Honor.
They're telling me you ought to be able to have it done by December 5th. So I'll tell you what we'll do instead. Let's make everybody equally unhappy. Have I already found the respondent in noncompliance?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you to return to our December 11, 2018 meeting or some other representative of GEAC Site Investments for a progress report. Okay? And at that point in time, what I see is architect's plans and applications for permits and something a little bit more specific about the amount of time left to be required to come into compliance, then that would be the time for me to think of, to take that into consideration. If I come up to December 5, 2018, and I find out little or nothing has been done, then it'll be a much shorter completion date that I'll be taking into consideration. Okay?
Just for clarification, does GAC site have to come up and present the drawings by December 11th? Or
somebody has to stand there, raise their hand, testify under oath as to what they've done and where they're at.
Okay.
And hopefully they'll be able to say it without these people over here contradicting them. That would be nice. And what I would hope GEA would do would be explain to me in a little more detail, because I know this, what you're talking about is all in the works as we speak. Hopefully by December 11th, someone will have more specifics as far as where we stand on the architect's plans, where we stand on the permits, where we stand on securing contractors. And with all that additional insight, hopefully someone can then help us figure out a completion date.
Okay.
10-4?
Yeah.
All right. So December 11, 2018, this comes back for a progress report. In the interim, the house is not to be rented, utilized, or occupied until such time as it's in compliance.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 36, David Bright. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelger, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that he spoke with the owner. The owner basically says he cannot afford the repairs. But it is a noncompliance, remains a noncompliance.
He can't afford the repairs for outside storage?
That's the report from my inspector. And he says that, Mr. Klieg says that he can be in compliance by next cutoff. So I would send to Mr. Klieg to speak to the facts.
Now, he told me he couldn't remove the storage, it's a camper top on the right-hand side because he's a little bit elderly. He said he can't remove that. He said he cannot afford to fix the roof, and he doesn't know where to go. I tried to turn him on to maybe some church organizations, but nobody seems to be willing to help him. He can't take a loan, he said, out. So, but it's been hurricane damage for that roof, for it's been 2 years right now. So, and his neighbors to the right of him who are complaining. So.
All right. Well, how much time should it take to come into compliance? And what's the scope of the roof damage?
It's extensive, so it'd probably be 30 days for a permit. That's why I was reading, you know, for the next cutoff to at least apply for a permit. So,
and so I'm going to fashion a realistic order. What am I doing?
60 days.
Sitting there saying, well, I don't want to give them that much time. Just tell them the outside storage needs to be gone by December 5th.
Right.
And by December 5th, I need to see a permit for the roof working.
Exactly.
Does that sound reasonable enough?
Very much.
And if he doesn't do that, then we know he's not going to do anything.
Right. Perfect.
All right. Based on our inspector's report noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Order the respondent be in compliance on the outside storage by December 5th. Further order the respondent by December 5th, 2018 to have, what am I saying, applied for the required roof permits. Applied for the required roof permits. Failing either of those two events, the respondent will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Let me modify that. With regard to that order by December 5th, he's to come into compliance on the roof or, at a minimum, furnish proof of permit application for repairs to the roof. Failing that, he'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 37, William E. and Connie L. Frady. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Still thinking on the prior order. But on this case, the inspector is Tom Klieg on the property at 717 Winchester Street. Mr. Klieg reports that the property is now in compliance, and we're looking for a will fine.
Okay. Based on the city attorney's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the response to be in noncompliance. Further find that the respondents have since come into compliance and will therefore order that for every future violation, the respondents be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. With regard to the Bright case, I don't want to let them off the hook for not coming into compliance on the failure to maintain the roof. So he either fixes the roof or at a minimum he comes in and provides proof of permit applications for the roof.
So he must appear with that proof and then a subsequent. So are we continuing the ultimate compliance? Because otherwise what we're saying is if he shows us proof of permits being pulled, we file an affidavit of compliance and we're done with the case. And that's not our intent.
Okay. It looks as though maintaining the roof is something that's going to require more than the ...22 days we have between now and December 5th. Okay. I don't want to go just giving him 4 months to come into compliance only to find out 4 months from now he's never done the first thing. So, on the outside storage, he has to be in compliance by December 5th. I went back to address the roof to say he also has to be in compliance on the roof. Okay, the nature of the violation is failure to maintain the roof. Basically, what I'm hearing is the roof needs to be I just heard extensive repairs required.
Yes,
tell me what the relief is. The guy isn't going to do anything anyway, but my point is it just seemed unrealistic to tell him to have that roof in compliance in 22 days. And that's the nature of the violation.
Okay, so
I'm sorry, with some suggestions from our advisor. Apply for permits by the 5th and a progress report for no, we don't want to say that. Yeah, I guess we can say that. And return for determination of a compliance date for the roof. So ultimate compliance. They would be subject to a fine on the failure to obtain the permits, and subject to a fine on the failure of the outside storage. And then we can make a determination at that time on the roof for next month if nothing's happened, or take no further action at that point. But I don't know if we really want to close it merely because he shows us the permit. Because he shows us the permit, of course, we want it to continue.
My intent wasn't to close it. My intent was that. Okay. This shouldn't be this difficult.
An automatic sign if it's not done. I'm just an automatic sign. If it isn't good.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right.
Can he not order it in non-compliance and have the outside storage brought in compliance by 12/5 and
that?
The application be filed by that date?
But then if he files the application, then that's wonderful, but now we put affidavit compliance and we're done.
All right, here's what we're going to do. All right, with regard to the roof, I'm going to order the respondent to appear at our December 11, 2018 meeting. First off, I'm going to defer a compliance date on the roof. For the time being, I'm going to order the respondent to be at our December 11, 2018 meeting. Okay. If he's not in compliance with the storage by then he's ready to be fined by then. If he doesn't, if he shows up at the December 11th meeting, then we'll talk about the roof. If, as we suspect, he doesn't show up at the December 11th meeting, then I'll probably give him till January 2 to come into compliance, and then failing that, he'll be fined. So let's kind of break it down into the two components. So let me try it one more time so we can be clear. I'll vacate my previous order. And with regard to outside storage, I'm ordering the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. With regard to failure to maintain the roof, I'm deferring any ruling on the compliance date. I'm ordering the respondent to appear at the December 11, 2018 meeting, at which point we will discuss time required to come into compliance on that item. There. Now we done with it?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Case number 38, Kimberly Perez. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that this property is now in compliance and we're looking for a will fine.
All right, based on the city's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and further find that the respondent has since now come into compliance. Notwithstanding that, for every future violation, the respondent will be returned to the special magistrate. For each future occurrence, the respondent will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Case number 39, Todd L. Huguenin. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg says he's spoke with the respondent and he's working on it. He did fail his rental inspection, so he needs more to do to come into compliance. Mr. Klieg believes he can come into compliance by next cutoff.
All right. Based on the city's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 40, Earl McCrary III. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that he's had contact with Mr. McCleary, and he said he had it done, but Mr. Klieg went out, and it's not in compliance as of today. And so non-compliance next cut off.
All right. Based on the city attorney's presentation, I find the respondent, and noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I believe that concludes the agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business?
No, sir.
No miscellaneous business? All right. Y'all have a nice Thanksgiving, and we are adjourned.